Good morning and welcome to Simply Startups. It's Sunday, April 28th. On today's show, Grab's COO sees tremendous upside in Southeast Asia's fast-growing market after reporting its first-ever profitable quarter, while Europe is said to be lagging behind in innovation and startups. Plus, Latin American AI startups are transforming farming through data harvesting. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Startups. We start off with some major news in the tech startup world. Southeast Asian ride-hailing and food delivery giant Grab has hit a major milestone, reporting its first-ever profitable quarter at the end of 2023. This comes after years of losses since the company's founding. For more on this, we turn to our startups correspondent, James. So tell us, how significant is this profitable quarter for Grab?
This is certainly a landmark moment for Grab. The company reported a profit of $11 million in Q4 2023, a huge turnaround from the nearly $400 million loss it posted in the same quarter the previous year. Revenue also grew 30% year over year to $653 million. Grab's COO Alex Hungate called it a point on the line and said there is still a lot of growth potential in the region that they need to keep pushing for.
Grab has faced pressure from investors in recent years to rein in spending and move towards profitability. How did they manage to finally achieve this profitable quarter?
Like many tech companies, Grab implemented various cost-cutting measures to improve its bottom line. This included freezing hiring and salaries for senior managers. The profitable quarter was also helped by a one-time accounting gain. However, it remains to be seen if Grab can sustain this profitability going forward.
The market seems to still be skeptical of Grab's long-term prospects, with the stock price still way down from its initial listing. What will you be watching for when Grab reports Q1 2024 earnings next month?
All eyes will be on whether Grab can build on the momentum from that profitable Q4. Key things to watch will be if revenue growth remains strong and if they can limit losses or even post another profitable quarter. Showing a trend of improving financials will be critical to winning back investor confidence. But Grab still faces stiff competition in the region and will need to keep innovating its service offerings to drive growth.
It will certainly be interesting to see if this profitable quarter was a blip or the start of a new chapter for Grab. Thank you, James, for the insights and analysis. Shifting our focus to Europe, ministers at a recent conference of European universities have expressed concerns that the continent is falling behind the rest of the world when it comes to innovation and turning scientific research into practical applications. For more on this, we're joined by our correspondent. What did the ministers have to say about Europe's competitiveness in this area?
The ministers painted a stark picture, David. Michiel Scheffer, president of the board of the European Innovation Council, said that while Europe is still reasonably good at science, it is really lagging behind in valorizing that science into industrial applications. He pointed to gaps in patents, startups, and unicorn companies coming out of innovation as evidence of this trend. According to Balázs Hanko, the Hungarian Minister of Education, Europe now accounts for just 18% of the world's innovative output, down from 25% about 15 years ago.
What did the ministers identify as the main reason for Europe falling behind in innovation?
Scheffer said the biggest factor is Europe's fermented and weak funding landscape for innovation. He stressed the need to reinvigorate funding without compromising European values or losing sight of socio-political objectives. The European Innovation Council, which was established in 2021 with 10.1 billion euros in funding, aims to support game-changing innovations and help finance and scale up startups and small to medium enterprises. So far, it has funded around 500 European companies, 90% of which are located within 10 kilometers of a university.
How are individual European countries trying to boost innovation and market-oriented research?
Several countries are developing national higher education strategies to encourage more market-oriented research and boost economic performance. For example, in 2021, France announced a major 13 billion euro investment program called France 2030 that includes actions related to higher education and research. The goal is to transform university curricula to better align with the nation's industrial aims and employment needs. Sébastien Chevalier from the French Ministry of Education said they are encouraging universities to take more risks in research and open new doors, even if not all of it pans out. Similar strategies are underway in Hungary, Greece, and Latvia to tie higher education more closely to economic outcomes.
But Scheffer also warned that focusing too much on economic objectives shouldn't come at the expense of European values, right?
That's right. He said without values, KPIs are empty, and that universities make important socio-political contributions beyond just economic ones. When the European Commission funds projects, it does so within the framework of European values, not just as an apolitical economic instrument. So in Scheffer's view, strengthening Europe's position as an innovation leader can't mean sacrificing its role as a thought leader as well. Balancing those economic and socio-political objectives will be key as Europe tries to close its innovation gap with the rest of the world.
Thanks for that report and analysis. Clearly, Europe has some catching up to do when it comes to translating its scientific prowess into market-leading innovations and startups. It will be interesting to see if national strategies and EU-level funding can help close that gap in the coming years, without losing sight of the broader European values and objectives at stake. Speaking of startups revolutionizing traditional industries, let's turn our attention to Latin America. For centuries, farmers relied on almanacs to try to understand and predict weather patterns. But now, a new crop of Latin American startups is using artificial intelligence to revolutionize farming in agricultural giants like Brazil. Here, with more details, is our Simply Startups correspondent. So how are these startups using AI to help farmers?
Well, David, one key way is by helping farmers get better access to credit. Brazilian entrepreneur Aline Oliveira Pezente noticed that producers need huge amounts of money up front to buy inputs like seed and fertilizer. But lenders are wary given how hard it is to assess all the risks involved, from droughts and floods to price crashes. So in 2018, Aline launched a startup called Trave that uses AI to analyze massive amounts of agriculture data. This allows them to better quantify the risks for lenders in just minutes, opening up more credit for farmers.
That's fascinating. What are some other ways AI is being applied in agriculture?
Another startup called Terra Firma, based in Puerto Rico, developed an AI model that uses satellite imagery to forecast environmental risks to farms, like natural disasters, crop diseases, and soil erosion. The key is having enough quality data to train these complex AI algorithms. Farmers track a lot of information, but gathering and processing it globally is a big challenge. Still, many believe AI is essential for feeding a growing world population sustainably.
Right. The UN estimates we'll need to feed nearly 10 billion people by 2050. How could AI help make agriculture more sustainable?
A Brazilian startup called AgroSmart is using AI to help farmers manage climate risks and produce more sustainably. As you mentioned, we need to increase food production, but also do it using less land and resources. AgroSmart believes AI and other technologies can help regenerate the environment and make agriculture work together with nature in a more sustainable model. It's an optimistic vision, but one many entrepreneurs are working hard to realize.
It certainly seems like artificial intelligence will play a big role in the future of farming, especially in major agricultural countries like Brazil. Thanks for that report. Shifting gears now to entrepreneurship in India, the Chamber for Commerce and Industries Kashmir, or CCIK, recently held an exhibition to showcase the talent and products of young entrepreneurs in the Kashmir Valley. The event provided a platform for 50 startups to gain exposure to offline retail marketing with a focus on women-led businesses. Michael, what can you tell us about the types of products and creativity on display at this exhibition?
It was an impressive showing of the innovation and artistry coming out of Kashmir's startup scene. Out of the 50 startups featured, 46 were run by women entrepreneurs. There was a wide range of offerings, from calligraphy and resin art to handmade soaps, clothing, home decor, and even organic cotton sanitary pads. Many of these businesses have found success selling online, but the CCIK wanted to give them an opportunity to connect with customers in person and get a feel for offline retail.
One of the startups you mentioned was a company producing organic, skin-friendly sanitary pads. That's an important issue for women's health and hygiene. What more did you learn about this particular business?
Yes, the founder Swalanisa spoke about how she was motivated to create a product that would be gentle on the skin and reduce infections and other issues that can arise from conventional pads containing plastic and other synthetic materials. Her company manufactures the organic cotton pads in the Kupwara district of North Kashmir. She used the exhibition to launch her products to the public for the first time and raise awareness about the importance of knowing what goes into the feminine hygiene products we use.
It's encouraging to see these young entrepreneurs not only building successful businesses, but also focusing on products that can improve people's lives. What is the CCIK hoping to achieve with exhibitions like this one?
The Chamber's stated resolution for the year is to encourage entrepreneurship and promote startups in Kashmir, with a particular emphasis on supporting women in business. They see events like this as a way to give budding entrepreneurs more exposure and help them expand from online only to offline retail. Based on the positive response from the public, the CCIK plans to organize more of these exhibitions to continue uplifting the Valley's talented youth.
It will be exciting to see how these 50 startups and others continue to grow and make their mark on Kashmir's business landscape. The exhibition is slated to run for 2 days, and if this inaugural event is any indication, it will be a valuable platform for the region's entrepreneurial ecosystem. Thanks for your reporting, Michael. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Startups. We'll see you back here tomorrow.